Well, if you have a Bible with you, let me invite you to open it up to the book of Matthew. And today we're going to be in chapter 6. Now, as you're making your way there, I want to share with you how Mark records a day that took place during the early part of Jesus's public ministry. So Mark in chapter 1 says this, that after Jesus calls his 12 disciples, that they travel to the city of Capernaum, where Jesus goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he begins to teach. And the people listening, they recognize that there's something different about Jesus. There's something that sets him apart from the other teachers that they have listened to. And while Jesus is teaching, there's a man there who is demon-possessed, and he begins to make a scene. So Jesus takes authority over the demonic spirit, and he commands it to come out of the man. And when Jesus does that, it says that the man convulses, the demonic spirit cries out, and then the man is set free. Well, I'm sure you can imagine this, right? The people standing there kind of in awe and in shock as they're watching this. And what happens is they go and they begin to tell everyone about Jesus. While they're doing that, Jesus and his disciples, they go to Peter's home, and Peter's mother-in-law, she happens to be ill. So Jesus supernaturally heals her, and she gets up. She begins to serve them. Well, apparently someone in the home, they must have went and told others, because by evening, the home is surrounded by all the people of the city. And they've brought out everyone who is ill, who needs healing, and who is demon-possessed, so they can be set free because they have heard Jesus is here. So Jesus does that very thing. He spends his evening healing, blessing, and casting out demons. I mean, sure, I'm sure you can imagine. I mean, this day has just been an amazing day. Well, everyone, they go to bed, and they get up in the morning, and Jesus is missing. I'm sure you can imagine some of the anxiety that probably started to arise as they think that Jesus has left without them. So they go searching for Jesus, and Peter finds him. He finds Jesus alone and in a remote area. But Jesus wasn't actually alone. Jesus was there to spend time with God the Father in prayer. Which is interesting because we see this type of behavior arise over and over in the life of Jesus, that Jesus would go off by himself to spend time alone with God the Father in prayer. Which makes me think this, that if Jesus needed to spend time alone in prayer with God, well, then we need to as well. Now, for those who are joining for the first time, we're in the middle of a series in which we've entitled A World Upside Down. And what we're doing is we're discovering what it means to live a blessed life. And I think we would all say this. We would say that we all desire to live the blessed life, right? To be blessed. But how often do we stop and ask the question, well, what does it mean to be blessed? You know, a lot of times when if asked that question, what we would respond with is to be blessed is to have the things that make for a comfortable life. So this could be certain luxuries, certain key positions, personal relationships like family and friends, which sound like the right answer. I mean, those are the things that we tend to point to and go, those are my blessings. But interesting, in what is probably Jesus's most extensive and most well-known teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus over and over talks about the blessed life or what it means to be blessed, he never mentions any of these comforts. Instead, Jesus taught that the blessed life is one that flows from following him. According to the Sermon on the Mount, true blessing is to have our life shaped by living in relationship with Jesus. And today, what we're going to see from the Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus wants to shape how we think of and how we engage in prayer. So again, if you have a Bible, Matthew 6, and we're going to start in verse number 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let me ask you a question that you can answer internally. And that is this: what role does prayer play in your life? Now, when we hear that, we might be quick to say, well, prayer plays a role in my life because I pray. But honestly, when you really stop and you think and you reflect on it, how often do you pray? And when you do pray, what do you ask for? You know, my guess is this, is that when we think about those questions, right, when we get beyond the, right, what role does prayer play, and we just kind of go, well, I pray, but when we stop and start going, like, how often do we pray? What do we really pray about? When we start thinking about that, I think most of us would respond with, or acknowledging, that prayer is an area that we could all grow in. Or maybe we could say it's an area where we all want to grow. Now, when I say that, that doesn't, please don't take it as a negative thing, right? that I'm pointing out some sort of some flaw. I think the fact that we go, you know what, prayer is an area where I need to grow, that's actually a good thing, because it means this. It means that our spirit is craving more time with God. So that's not a bad thing, right? That is a good thing. It just might be that we need a little guidance. We need some help so we can fulfill this desire that our spirit has. You know, fortunately, Jesus gives us that guidance in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, when it comes to prayer, Jesus wants us to understand, first and foremost, what prayer is about. Or maybe we could say it this way: what prayer is not about. And we discussed this a little bit last week, that prayer is not about trying to draw attention to ourselves, trying to impress others or God. Prayer is about connecting with God. When I was a kid, I used to like to watch the old 1960s Batman television show with Adam West used to play Batman. Maybe you've seen it. And actually, it wasn't just when I was a kid. I still like watching it nowadays. But if you've ever seen the show, you know that Commissioner Gordon, whenever he needed to get a hold of Batman, he had a red phone. And when he picked up the red phone, it connected to another red phone, which was in the Batcave, which then Batman would answer and he could go on his missions of fighting crime. You know, prayer, it's kind of like that red phone. Meaning, when a person becomes a follower of Jesus, Scripture says this, that God's Spirit enters into them and gives them direct access to God the Father. Author and pastor Tim Keller states in his book, Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God, that when we're born again through faith in Christ, we receive the right to be his children and call on him as Father. To be a child of God means access. We know God is attentively listening to us and watching us. You know, at its heart, prayer, it's about relationship. It's about communicating with our Heavenly Father who loves us. God wants you to know him. God wants you to trust him. He wants to guide your life so that he can lead you to become the person and fulfill the purpose that he created you for. And that guidance, that transformation, it takes place when we spend time with God through scripture reading and through prayer. You know, I said it last week, but I'll say it again, that there are spiritual depths that God wants us to lead us to, that God wants us to experience, that we'll never obtain without cultivating a rich prayer life. Now, as I say that, this of course leads us to ask, well, how do we cultivate this life of prayer? Because again, if we're honest, this tends to be an area where many of us struggle. We get in ruts, We have a tendency to pray maybe the same prayers over and over. We maybe get distracted. Maybe even if you've had this where you go to pray and you fall asleep. You know, this is an area where obviously we can all grow. And again, luckily, Jesus shows us how we can. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually teaches us how we can pray. And what's beautiful about this is the way that Jesus teaches us to pray, it actually frees us. And let me explain what I mean by that. Jesus tells us that our prayers, they don't have to be long or eloquent. When we know that we don't have to perform, right? When we don't have to try to, if we can say it this way, fake it, right? It frees us to be ourselves. It frees us to share our heart with our Heavenly Father who loves us. Next, Jesus tells us this, that we don't have to try to convince God to give us what we think we need, which usually tends to be the things that we want. And he says this because God the Father already knows what we need. He knows before we even ask. And when we know that, when we come to prayer knowing that God already knows what we need, it frees us. It frees us to be able to commune with God, to be able to hear from God, to have our spirit connect with God instead of just trying to beg him for things. And what that does is that builds a relationship. Pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes in his work, Discipleship, he says, "We pray to God in whom we believe through Christ. Therefore, our prayer can never be a pleading with God. We do not need to pose before God. We may trust that God knows what we need before we ask for it. This gives our prayer greatest confidence and joyous certainty. It's not the formulation, not the number of words, but faith which reaches God's fatherly heart." Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. And he says it's not about trying to impress. It's not even about trying to get our way. But that it's, what it is it's seeking God's will for our life, which is what this model of prayer that we refer to as the Lord's Prayer really is all about. It's about seeking God's will for our life. Now, let me say this maybe as a little bit of as a side note, or maybe even as a warning, that when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, we have to be careful that we don't misunderstand it. While it's not wrong to pray the Lord's Prayer verbatim, that's not the point of this prayer. Listen to what the Life Application Bible Commentary states about the purpose of the Lord's Prayer. It says, "This prayer is called the Lord's Prayer because Jesus gave it to the disciples to pray, as well as to be a pattern for their prayers. Jesus did not give this prayer as an incantation to be recited over and over. That would render it ineffective as the babbling of the pagans. Jesus said, 'In this manner, therefore, pray. Praise God. Intercede for his work in the world. Ask for provision of individual daily needs and request help in daily struggles.'" So the Lord's Prayer, what it is it's a model. It's a guide to help us know how to and what to pray for. Now, I know that some might push back and say, no, we're supposed to pray it verbatim. And again, I'm not saying it's wrong to ever do that. But if the Lord's Prayer is a script, right, and we have to pray these exact words, then it raises this question of why do we not have any recorded examples of Jesus, the apostles, or anyone else in the New Testament praying it, even though we have recorded prayers outside of Jesus speaking here in Matthew 6 in the New Testament. Right? We have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't turn the Lord's Prayer kind of into a mantra, because when we do that, what happens is it can become the very thing that Jesus warns us against. Donald Whitney warns in his book, Praying the Bible, he says that prayers without variety eventually become words without meaning. Now, what he means by that is this, that when we get in the habit of just praying the same thing from memory, We could call it prayer autopilot. What happens is the substance of our prayers, the sharing of our heart, can get lost. That's why we are to use the Lord's Prayer as a guide to help shape our prayers. In the Lord's Prayer, it teaches us to intentionally focus our prayers on praising God, seeking God's will, and then demonstrating dependency upon God. So seeking God for the things that we need, such as the forgiveness of sin, strength to resist temptation, and then the necessities of life. If you needed some help in guiding your prayers, you could make a card with three simple words or three themes on it that simply say this: praise, surrender, and needs. Now, as we think about that, I think we all understand the idea of praise or worshiping God. And of course, we understand needs, the things that we need to seek God's provision for. But what about how to know how to pray God's will, this surrender component? We might think of it this way: how can we know God's will so we can pray for it? Well, God has shared it with us. He has shared it with us in His Word. Here's the reality. This is a spiritual truth. If you want to pray God's will, right? If you want to be able to pray, "Your will be done," then you have to know the Scriptures. James Boyce, in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, writes, "If we are to receive the things we ask for, we must have a knowledge of God's will and God's ways. These are given to us only through Scripture." Now, let me give you an example of what praying God's word might look like that honors God, that seeks His will, and addresses a need or a desire that a person might have. My wife told me that when she was quite young, that her grandmother used to encourage her to pray for her future husband. Now, she could have, over the years, prayed that God would send her someone who is, you know, super handsome and rich and funny and smart, and someone who would just dote on her 24 hours a day. To which I would have to say, "I'm sorry." But that wouldn't be praying God's word. Praying God's word, what that would look like is maybe her praying a prayer that looks like, "God, you created marriage and you call it good. My heart desires to one day have a companion and a helpmate that I can be joined to for life. When I'm ready, send me a spouse that first and foremost loves you. Let him have a humble heart that trusts in you and seeks your will over his own. Teach him to surrender his desires to you and to resist sinful temptation. Let him find joy in serving and caring for others, to be gracious with the treasure that you have entrusted to him. Make him a man who follows your word and that I can trust to lead our family in righteousness." Now, maybe you caught it, but every single part of that prayer came directly from Scripture. That's what praying God's word looks like. Now, earlier when we opened this teaching portion of today's service, I asked you this question of what role does prayer play in your life? Well, let me ask you a different question now. What role do you want prayer to play in your life? You know, here's the truth. Even if we struggle, prayer is an area in which we can all grow. But that growth won't take place accidentally, right? You can't, you know, trip into prayer. If we want a rich prayer life, we have to make conscious choices and be deliberate in our actions. So therefore, I want to encourage you today to deliberately make time every day for prayer. Maybe that looks like getting up a bit early. Maybe it looks like scheduling a block of time during the day. And here's the reality: it doesn't have to be long. It just has to be deliberate. And here's why it has to be deliberate. The The truth is that we live busy lives. In the busyness of life, or in the busyness of life, there's always something seeking our attention. And if we're not deliberate about spending time with God, about reading scripture and about praying, then we probably won't. Because again, there's always something else in which we can invest our time. Now, please don't take that wrongly and don't run with that and say, well, the pastor is saying that we can only pray, you know, during these specific times. We can pray in all places at all times. I pray driving in my car, riding on my motorcycle. So we can pray at all times in all places. But yet, I also recognize this, that when I'm praying in my car, when I'm praying, when I'm out on a motorcycle ride, I'm not really 100% focused on God, especially on a motorcycle, right? Our attention is divided, which makes hearing from God more difficult. So we have to be deliberate about setting aside time, time in which we are specifically focused on hearing from God and sharing our heart with Him. We need a deliberate time to pray. Well, there is so much more that we could discuss. I feel like, you know, we're just starting to scratch the surface when it comes to prayer. I do think this, that we've covered some important aspects of prayer. And that is, first and foremost, that prayer is about relationship. And Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer that our prayer should focus on praising God, seeking His will, and trusting Him for what we need. So my prayer for you today as we close is that you will grow in your relationship with Jesus by cultivating a rich and transforming life of prayer. Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, Scripture reveals to us that you are a God who speaks. Thank you for giving us your word and your spirit so that we can not only know about you, but truly know you. That we can have a relationship with you in which you speak to us and invite us to share our hearts with you. Lord, we confess that we don't spend as much time with you in prayer as we should. We ask that you would forgive us, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would put a hunger inside of us to grow in relationship with you through prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for providing the way so that we can have a relationship with God the Father, so that we can be confident that our prayers are heard. Jesus, help us to pray according to your will. Teach us through your word. And if our prayers are outside of what you desire for us, please transform us so we can pray according to your will for our life. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would increase our faith. Help us to trust when we don't see the fruit of our prayers or when the answer we receive is not what we were hoping for. Lord, help us to be people of prayer, to turn to you for guidance and assistance instead of leaning on our own understandings and our own plans. Teach us to embrace the blessed life, a life that's marked by prayer. And lastly, Lord, we ask that you would use us to advance your kingdom. Show us ways that we can love others, that we can meet needs, and give us opportunities to share the good news of the gospel. And as we do, we trust that you will soften hearts and that you will lead those that you are calling to a place of surrender. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we pray this all in your holy name. Amen.